to the book of John. The book of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17. Peace. What a beautiful word that is, peace. You know, when the Jewish people, when they greet one another, they greet one another with the word shalom. And it means peace. Peace is a wonderful thing. But peace is something that ever since the fall of man has eluded man. When sin came into the world, peace was taken away. But when Jesus came, you remember the angel said, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. And He brought peace back to this world. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Because this world that we live in is a troubled, troubled world. And I want to talk with you today about peace. Because we live in a world that is, 2020 has been unreal. Unreal. Started with an impeachment, then COVID, then shutdowns, and now this mess of an election that we're going through. It's just been a mess. And peace seems to evade us. And that's what I want to talk about. The title of my message is Peace in Such a World as This. Look with me in the book of John, John chapter 17. But before I read this verse, let me say this. John chapter 14, 15, and 16. Jesus is talking. The whole three chapters is Jesus talking. He's talking to His disciples. Because they are about to face one of the hardest times of their life. Jesus is about to be crucified. And He knows that this is coming. And He wants them, through this hard time, to have peace. To have peace. And so that's what this is all about. Peace in such a world as this. John chapter 17, I'm going to read one verse of Scripture, verse 33, and the Bible says, the words of Jesus, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have 16, chapter 16 and verse 33, excuse me. That's my mistake for this week. John chapter 16, verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, how good it is to be with our people again. God, how good it is to know that, Lord, even though, Lord, we're low in number, God, You are in our midst. How good it is to know that, Lord, Jesus came bringing the gospel of peace, the Bible tells us. And that, God, He is the Prince of Peace. God, You know my heart's desire. God, I try to follow the leadership of Thy Holy Spirit to meet the needs of our people. And God, in these uncertain times we're living in, I do believe, Father, we need peace. So God, I pray You'll speak to our hearts. And You'll show us, Lord, how we can have it. How we can have this marvelous thing of peace, no matter what we're facing, no matter what we're going through, no matter, God, how dark things may seem. God, we'll give You the praise and give You the glory for everything that You do. For it's in Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we do pray. Amen. Let me begin by asking you a question. I'm not going to ask for an answer. Just answer it in your heart. Do you have peace this morning? Do you have peace this morning? Most of you would probably say, well, preacher, it depends. It depends on what kind of peace you're talking about. If you're talking about peace concerning my salvation, yes, I do. I know that heaven's my home. I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm a child of the King. But preacher, if you're talking about peace with what's going on in my life, what's going on in the world, you'd probably say, no, I don't. No, I don't. Preacher, we don't know who our next president will be. Preacher, we don't know what lies ahead. We've got this coronavirus going on. We've got to contend with that. Preacher, I'm going through a hard time, a great trial right now, a financial trial, or a sickness, or a sorrow, or a problem that I can't handle. No, preacher, I don't have any peace concerning these things. Well, folks, Jesus came to give you peace about all things. About all things. You see, your peace is important to God. It's important to God that His people have peace. Whether it's concerning salvation or concerning the trials of this world. The Bible tells us, beloved, that through Jesus we have, now get this, peace with God. Peace with God. That, beloved, is concerning our salvation. That means that there's nothing between us and God, that we are reconciled to God, that there's peace between us and God. We are saved. But the Bible also tells us that we can and we should have the peace of God. Peace with God, but we should also have the peace of God. That's peace, beloved, in a world of tribulation and trials and sorrows and disappointments. That's peace, beloved, through the storms of life, through the uncertainties that lie ahead, through the hard times that we might face, through the sicknesses that we might suffer, through the problems, beloved, that come into our lives. Listen, God desires, beloved, you to have peace with God, to know that you're saved, to know you're right with God, but God also desires that you have the peace of God, beloved, as you live in this sin-cursed world. Nowhere is that seen better than in chapters 14, 15, and 16 of the book of John. You see, Jesus, beloved, is about to go to the cross. And He knew that He would be crucified. And He knew, beloved, the sadness and the sorrow and the fear that Satan would sow into the hearts of His disciples when that happened. He knew the darkness that they would face. So the Lord, because He desired them to have peace, He spent three chapters trying to prepare them for it and to give them peace. He started out in chapter 14, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in Me." He said, "I'm going away. I'm going away, but I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Look at verse 37 in chapter 14, or verse 27. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In chapter 15, he tells them again of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who he will send, beloved, to them to help them, to comfort them. And then in chapter 16, look at verse 20, what it says. Chapter 16 and verse 20. Listen to the words of Jesus. Verily, verily, I say unto you that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Beloved, then Jesus closes out this discourse with the words in verse 33 of chapter 16. He says, these things have I spoken unto you. What things? All these things in chapter 14, 15, and 16. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. Peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Folks, he says dark times are coming. That's what he's telling his disciples. You're going to hurt. You're going to cry. You're going to lament. It's coming. It's coming. But it's short-lived. It's short-lived. I tell you these things so that when the dark times come, ye might have peace in me. So here we are today, facing possibly a disaster of an election. Some of you are facing sickness. I mean terrible, awful sickness. Some of our own people. Some of you, beloved, are facing terrible, terrible trials in your life. Some are facing declining health. Some, beloved, are facing uncertainty about the future. So tell me, how can we have peace in such a world as this? How can we have peace? Listen to the words of Jesus. Beloved, you can have peace, listen, because you have Jesus. Amen? Because you have Jesus. Jesus began saying in John 14, 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me, he said. You know what he was saying? He's saying, listen, I'm God. You believe in God. Believe in me, because I and my Father are one. In other words, he's saying, this one that they had walked with, this one that they had loved, this one that they had followed, this one that they had dedicated their lives to and put their trust in, is none other than God. It's none other than God. What do you believe about God, disciples? What do you believe about God? Do you believe He's all powerful? So is Jesus. Because He's God. He's God. Do you believe that God is eternal? So is Jesus. Do you believe that God is holy? That God is pure? That God is righteous? That God is love? That God is gracious? Do you believe that God is wise? Oh, He's the wisest of them all. So is Jesus. So is Jesus. Do you believe that God is good and all that He does is good? Why, yes, we do. We believe that God is good. Well, so is Jesus. So is Jesus. How about truth? Do you believe that God is true, that He cannot lie, that He cannot fail? Yes, yes, we believe that God is true. You believe in God, believe also in me, Jesus said. Because I am everything God is, for we are one. We are one. And I'm the one that you've had a relationship with for 3 years, disciples. I'm the one that you've come to know and love and trust. I am God in a body of flesh. That means that everything I do, everything I allow, everything I say, everything I am is perfect and sinless and beyond reproach. Beyond reproach. Oh, how that first statement of Jesus should have flooded them with peace for what was to follow. But it didn't. It didn't. You see, they didn't grasp it. They didn't, beloved, understand it. They couldn't see what Jesus was saying. Because if it had, beloved, if they had, they wouldn't have ran when the soldiers arrested Him. They wouldn't have hid when Jesus was on trial. They wouldn't, beloved, have sorrowed as He lay in that tomb. They would have said, hey, He's God. He's controlling it all. He's controlling everything. He's God. He's truth. He says He's coming back for us. He's God. He cannot fail us, so we cannot fail. Oh, the peace that would have flooded their soul even as He hung on that cross. If they had just listened to the words, you believe in God, believe also in me. In me. Do you see, folks? Do you see the darkness, the trial that they went through as Jesus was arrested, as Jesus was beaten beyond recognition, as Jesus was nailed to that cross? But they had Jesus as their friend, as their master, as their help, but they couldn't see it. All they could see was the darkness. All they could see was the problem. All they could see was the hurt and the pain. So they had no peace as far as this world was concerned. So how about you? How about me? You're looking at this election and saying, oh man, this is terrible. This is unreal. You're looking at that trial you're going through and you're saying, what in the world am I going to do? You're looking, beloved, at your sickness and you're saying, I have no hope. Let me ask you something. Is this election? Is this trial you're facing? Is this sickness you're enduring worse than the crucifixion of Christ? No! No. You believe in God. Believe also in Jesus. Believe in Jesus. And let His peace take over your mind and your heart. Because as sure as He is God, beloved, He is all powerful. He is all knowing. He is all wise. He is good and righteous, and He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He is God, and He cannot fail. Amen? I don't care who's sitting in the White House. I don't care what disease you and I might have. He cannot fail. He is God. So He is true. How can we have peace in such a world as this? We can have peace because, listen, God, listen to this, has a plan. Amen? Folks, what lie ahead for Jesus had all been planned by God. It had all been planned. That's what lay before Jesus as He tried to prepare His disciples for what was ahead. Listen, God had decreed before the foundation of the world. That's what the Bible says. God had decreed before the foundation of the world that He would send His Son to earth. That His Son, beloved, would be rejected and betrayed. That His Son would be beaten so badly that you could not tell He was a man. God's plan was that He would be nailed to a cross. That He would bear the sins of the world, beloved, your sins and mine. And that He would suffer and die as no man had ever suffered and ever died. For our sins. For yours and mine. Taking our place. Taking our punishment. Taking our separation from God. Taking our death. It was God's plan. It was all God's plan as foretold by the prophets of old. Because there was no other way for God's righteousness and God's justice and holiness to be satisfied. Folks, God is holy. So guess what? Sin must be judged. No getting around it. Sin must be judged. God is righteous, beloved. He is righteous. So the guilty, beloved, must pay for their sin. But God is also love. Amen? I mean, unbounding love. He is a God of grace. And the only way that God could reconcile His holiness and righteousness with His love and His mercy and His grace was the cross. Was the cross. There on that cross, God's holiness and justice were satisfied as Jesus suffered and died for our sins. As He judged our sins, beloved. And His wrath fell on His own Son. But at the same time, God's love for us is satisfied, beloved, as He offers salvation to all who will believe. See, there was no other way for man to be saved. God's love and grace be satisfied. But the disciples couldn't see that. They couldn't see that. Now listen, all they could see, beloved, was evil seeming to triumph. All they could see was lies and deceit seeming to win out. All they could see, beloved, was the one that they loved suffering and dying at the hands of wicked men. I can hear Jesus say, "Why are you troubled? Oh, slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? It was God's plan." It was God's. Folks, God has a plan, listen to me, for your life and mine. You know that? How many of you watched In Touch this morning? God's got a plan. He's got a plan for your life and my life. God has a plan, listen to this, for this nation. For this nation. And for the world. God, beloved, has a plan that is glorious and wonderful. And that plan for your life and my life may involve suffering and sorrow as it did for Jesus. But you can believe this, beloved. The sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared with the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. For those who love Him.
the plan He has for this world, we know. We know, beloved, involves suffering and sorrow and pain. It's called the tribulation, a time such as the world has never seen before, nor ever will see again. Oh, but after that, He returns, beloved, with His saints, and it's heaven on earth for 1,000 years. 1,000. Folks, whatever God's plan is for you, for me, do you think you're going to dwell on that when you receive the glory God wants you to have? You think you're going to dwell on the pain? You think you're going to dwell on that trial? You think you're going to dwell on that sickness? You think you're going to dwell on who sits in the Oval Office? No, listen, you'll thank God for it all, beloved. You'll thank God for every moment, just as we look back on the cross and thank God for that cross. What did Jesus say? He said it's like a woman in childbirth. The pain, the suffering. It's so bad, but oh, it's all forgotten when you hold that little baby in your arms. I'll never forget. Martha had that first baby. You know what she kept saying? Never again. Never again. Never again. Never again. 15 months later, she was up there again. She said, I am so stupid. I am so stupid. Never again. Never again. But when she held that baby, all the pain and suffering were forgotten. Were forgotten. What you're going through is nothing. It's nothing compared to what you're going to receive, beloved, from God. It's nothing. So whatever it is you're facing, whatever that trial is, whatever that hardship, whatever that pain, whatever that sickness, it's just a short time. Just a short time. You can have peace through it all, knowing that your God, your loving God, has a plan for you. And His plan is as good as God is good. His plan is as wonderful as God is wonderful. His plan, beloved, will end with joy unspeakable for you. It'll end with joy unspeakable. Third, you can have peace in such a world as this. Because Jesus, listen to me, has overcome the world. Whoa! He's overcome the world. Let me ask you, where does all this turmoil come from? Where do the trials and the troubles and the sickness and the sorrows, where does it come from? It comes from this world. This world. And what is this world? It is a sin-cursed world. The Bible tells us that. And because it's sin-cursed, beloved, it is plagued with disease and sickness. It's plagued with trials and troubles. It's plagued with corruption and decay. It's a world that lies in the lap of the wicked one, populated by people, beloved, who are sin-cursed themselves. People who steal. People who kill, people who live for greed, who hurt and maim and destroy, people who stand against all that is good and all that is righteous. People to whom, beloved, the imagination of their hearts is only evil continually. That's the world that we live in, folks. No wonder we have sickness. No wonder we have trials. No wonder, beloved, we have cheating. No wonder we have decay and death and sorrow and pain and suffering. No wonder we have no peace. But listen to Jesus. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome. Whoa! I can't hardly stand it. I have overcome the world. The world. Notice, listen carefully to what He's saying. Jesus didn't say, I will overcome the world. He said, I have overcome the world. Now folks, this is not coming from some charlatan. This is coming from Almighty God in a body of flesh. This is coming from the very lips of God, the omnipotent, the omniscient, the omnipresent one. I have overcome the world. Did you get that? Jesus says, all of this world that hurts you, that fills you with fear, that worries you, that harms you, that robs you, that cheats you, that will kill you, that fights against you, all that is evil and hurtful and wicked and vile, I have already overcome. I've already overcome. Folks, I hear that and suddenly all my fears and all my worries and all my sorrows and all my pain is replaced with peace. With peace. I'm going to tell you, I'm no different than you are. Martha and I left on this trip. Boy, she and I both were so down. So discouraged. Because of this election. Because of this election. But folks, as I began to dwell on these words, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. You know what? I got happy. I got rejoicing. And all the fear and dread and sorrow. God. And I have peace. I have peace. You say, preacher, if Biden gets in there, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Hey, Jesus has overcome the world. He's overcome it. I got peace. Now, what, preacher, what about what's her name? Kamala. What if she becomes president? Hey, Jesus has overcome the Buddhist. You know what she is, a Buddhist? You know what they say? Ma'am? Well, I heard she was a Buddhist. Okay. I think she's closer to a Buddhist than a Baptist. I don't know. But anyway. Jesus has overcome. He's overcome. I have peace. I have peace in this chaotic world because I know that Jesus has defeated, get this, all my enemies. All my enemies, He's defeated, beloved. From the globalist to the devil himself. From sickness and disease to the troubles and trials that I face. From the want and pain to death and destruction. Jesus has overcome it all. He's conquered them all. And He's lifted up, beloved. Listen, He has lifted the curse and all that the curse brings with it. All that torments my soul. He did it. He did it. By bearing the curse for us. As it is written, cursed is he that hangs upon the tree. Come on, pandemic. Jesus has overcome you. Come on, come on, globalists. Socialist, Jesus has overcome you. Come on, sickness, trials, hurt, pain. Come on, death.
My Jesus has met you on the field of battle, and He holds high the banner of victory. Whoa! That leaves me with absolute peace. Peace. Look at this world. Look at what you and I are facing. Look at what, if Jesus tarries, our children may be facing. How can we have peace in such a world as this? We can have peace because we have Jesus, the God-man. Amen? We can have peace because beloved, God has a plan. A plan. And everything is going according to His plan. And at the end of that plan is joy unspeakable. Joy unspeakable. We can have peace. Because our Lord has already overcome this world. Our enemies will bow at our feet in submission to our Lord. Are you worried? Are you fearful? Are you hurting? Are you going through sickness or some great trial or trouble? Be of good cheer. Because the peace of Jesus, He has left with you. And no matter what comes your way or my way, peace is ours if we just claim. If we just come. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. Heavenly Father, so many things we don't understand. But Father, we trust You. You've always done good to us. Always. Always. And we know Your word is true. And God, no matter what, no matter what, we can have this. World can't fight that, Lord. World can't undo what Jesus has done. God, help us to see. The disciples that day didn't see. They couldn't understand. I pray, Lord, Thy Holy Spirit will give us understanding. That God, we might know beyond a shadow of a doubt the peace of God in our hearts and in our lives. God, You have Your way now. I don't know the hearts of people. But there will be one here that's false. God, they have no peace because they don't have the Prince of Peace. But Lord, I pray today they'll say yes to Jesus. And I pray, God, we who do know Him might stand up in faith. Claim that peace that Jesus has given to us, and it might flood our souls in these uncertain times. Have Your way in every heart. In Jesus Christ's name, we do. I ask you to stand, heads bowed and eyes closed. We invite you to come. For whatever reason, we invite you to come. Won't you come? Won't you come? Come with these that are coming. Do you desire that peace? Do you
You desire that peace. Maybe you say, preacher, I've got it. Then come and praise Him and thank Him. And give Him glory. Won't you come? Won't you come? Come with these things. Won't you come? Facing a trouble, a trial, a sickness, a sorrow. Why don't you come? Lay it at Jesus' feet. You may be seated, heads bowed and eyes closed. Thank God for these who come to the moving of His Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask my brother Keith if he wants to do this.